The angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Thus far, the Holy Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, because of whose resurrection, death is now swallowed up in victory, dear fellow redeemed. It was Philip Stanhope, the Earl of Chesterfield, who once famously said, "Advice is seldom welcome, and those who need it the most always like it the least." And isn't that true? Most people like flattery and approval, but people generally don't like to hear advice, especially if that advice points up some kind of flaw or shortcoming in themselves. The worse the shortcoming, the less likely they are to be pleased at hearing advice about it. It's human nature, and it's true of all of us. Good advice, advice you really need to hear because of something that's wrong in you, is hard to listen to and even harder to put into practice. But on this glorious Easter morning, our text presents us with a wonderful exception to that rule. In this passage, we're given some advice. It's advice in which we can have the utmost confidence because it comes straight to us from God by the hand of one of his mighty angels. And unlike most good advice, his words are not only easy to hear, they form the very foundation of our Christian joy and our Christian life. Lend an ear, then, and listen to some good advice from the Easter angel. Don't be afraid. Look at the evidence and go forth with the message. It was early Sunday morning. The Sabbath was now over. And what a sorrowful Sabbath it had been for those women who were devoted to Jesus and had followed him from Galilee. Their master had been captured and cruelly put to death. And now they were preparing to carry out the last kindness that they were able to do for him. They were to embalm his body with fragrant spices, as was the manner of the Jews to bury. By the way, have you noticed how men don't come out looking very good in most of the passion accounts? Peter, James, and John, for instance, fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. All the disciples forsook Jesus and fled when he was arrested. Peter denied even knowing who Jesus was in the courtyard of the high priest. All of those failures at the cross, only John was there to see the end. But all the women were there. Mary, Jesus' mother, of course. Mary Magdalene. Mary, the mother of James and Joses. Salome, Johanna. They were all there. They saw Jesus die. They marked carefully the place where his body was laid. And now, with the sun just rising, they were on their way to the tomb with heavy hearts to fulfill these last good offices. A greater picture of sorrow and gloom could scarcely be imagined. But as it often is in the lives of believers, things were not what they seemed. The Lord was working. Great changes were afoot. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. Just as it was an earthquake that tolled the bell for Jesus' death, now it is an earthquake that once again peals the bell for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. An angel, a messenger of God, came down. At the sight of him, the soldiers guarding the tomb fell down and became like dead men. Then the angel rolled back the massive stone from the door of the tomb, not to let Jesus out, but to demonstrate to human beings that Jesus was already out. And what the angel had to say, his words, were very significant for the women there at the tomb that first Easter, and also very significant for us believers these 20 centuries later, for we who have also come to worship our Savior at his open tomb. Today we're presented with some very good advice from the Easter angel. And the first thing he said will sound familiar to you because it's the same thing angels always say in the Bible when they first confront human beings and appear to them. Don't be afraid. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Don't be afraid. Why do they always say that? Why do they need to say that? It's because whenever sinful human beings are suddenly confronted with the divine, the normal first reaction is stark terror, and for good reason. God is pure righteousness, a burning and all-consuming holiness. Nothing unholy or unrighteous can stand for a second in his presence. And we sinners immediately sense our own deep unholiness and unrighteousness, don't we? It's the first thing we feel. We feel all too keenly the filthy thoughts that have passed through our minds, the hateful and hurting words that have passed across our lips, the dark and evil deeds of which our hands have been guilty. But nevertheless, the angel said to the Marys and says to us today, don't be afraid. My friends, you'll never get any advice that's easier to hear than that. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He is alive. He was alive then. He's alive today. And I wonder if you understand fully everything that that means. Among so many other important truths, the resurrection proves your justification. It means that Jesus' suffering and death on the cross has been accepted by God the Father as full payment for your sins. The book of Romans says, Jesus our Lord was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Raised again so that you could stand in the presence of the holy and righteous God, holy yourself, justified by Jesus and righteous in God's eyes for his sake. What a wonderful word from the Easter angel. Do not fear. The payment for your sins has been offered by Jesus and accepted by God the Father. You shall not die eternally. On the contrary, the open tomb, if it means anything, means that you too will one day rise to everlasting life with Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Or as the Apostle Peter put it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Fear? There's no room for fear any longer in the life of a Christian. It's interesting that when the angel said, do not fear, God caused the holy writer to put down in the Greek language an imperfect tense, which is very specific in Greek. It means not merely don't be afraid right now. It means you shall never, ever again be afraid of anything. Martin Luther put it this way, do not fear. This is as much as to say, what foolish and simple little people you are that you should be terrified and fear. For Christ lives and is risen from the dead. Therefore, the proper thing for you to do is be glad and never worry about anything. For that Christ lives, he lives for your good, that you should enjoy him and by him be protected and preserved from all misery. He means to tell us that the resurrection of Christ is to comfort us against the devil, sin, and hell. For if these foes could continue to do damage, it would be impossible for us not to fear. This is the first command, not only to the women, but to all baptized and believing Christians who know and believe that Christ is risen, namely, that they are not to fear. Not to fear. That's good advice. But how do we know the resurrection really happened? How do we know it isn't what so many modern skeptics dismiss it as being, a myth, a well-meaning legend that grew up around Jesus' followers? Well, come see for yourself, the angel said. Look at the evidence. You'll see the stone rolled away. You'll see the place where Jesus' body lay. You'll even see the grave clothes folded neatly to one side. In fact, there's only one thing you won't see. You won't see the body of Jesus. The absence of Jesus' body from the tomb was and remains to this day the most convincing evidence for the truth of the resurrection. Think about it. The enemies of Christ could at any point have easily disproven the resurrection of Jesus. All they had to do was simply produce his body. But they couldn't do it then, and they can't do it now, because there is no body. Jesus is alive. Other evidence abounds in Scripture. Did you know that over 300 passages in the Bible talk specifically about the resurrection of Jesus? For one thing, his resurrection from the dead was predicted in the Old Testament, in Psalm 16 and elsewhere. In the New Testament, Jesus frequently, specifically predicted that he would be put to death and crucified and rise again the third day. Then there were the eyewitnesses. The Apostle Paul says, "I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present." And on the other side, how many people claim to have seen the dead body of Jesus after Easter Sunday? Not one. Perhaps the greatest evidence of all for the resurrection is the evidence in the lives of his believers down through the centuries, beginning with the apostles who based their entire life's work upon the resurrection of Christ, and in the lives of every believer in every century since then. And in your life, the power of the resurrection has worked miracles, the miracle of faith that the Holy Spirit has put in your heart so that you believe that Jesus did die for you and that he did rise from the dead. Paul says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." And you've seen that miraculous power at work in the hearts of other people, haven't you? People whose lives have been turned around, people whom you never thought would ever come to faith in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit accomplished it. So you've taken the Easter angel's advice so far. You've recognized that with the power of the resurrection, there is nothing left for Christians to fear. You've examined the evidence for the resurrection in the Bible and in your own life. But it's not just about your life, is it? The Easter gospel is for everyone, and that means you've got work to do. Advice from the Easter angel: go forth with the message. The angel said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." The angel told them what to do. And if you read between the lines, you can see he told them what not to do too, didn't he? He told them they were not to go home and keep the good news to themselves and ponder it in private. The news of the resurrection wasn't to be a secret. Rather, they were to be active, to get the news out, to carry that message to other people, to the disciples first, and then to all the world. Go forth with the message of the resurrection, the angel told them. And so our risen Lord himself says to us, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are not to be static. To be a Christian implies activity, busyness, being at work for the Lord every day of our lives. No matter what your career or your calling is, you are first and foremost a missionary of God, an ambassador of Jesus Christ to the people you know. That's your first job. So do the good work. Carry to others the wonderful news of the resurrection, of an open tomb, of sins forgiven, of heaven attained. Your work will not be in vain. As the Apostle Paul says in that great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Christ's resurrection is the central fact of our lives. It is, in truth, the central fact of human existence. It will remain so to the end of time, and no human opposition can ever overcome it. Many have tried. A writer named George Sweeting tells of an anti-Christian rally that was held by the communists in the city of Kiev in the early 1920s. They sent one of their most persuasive speakers, Nikolai Bukharin, to address the massive rally. And for over an hour, he harangued them against Christianity, pointing out the supposed errors and mistakes in the Bible. He finally concluded, thinking he had convinced the crowd once and for all of the folly of Christianity. Then he asked for questions. After a moment, an aged Orthodox priest who was sitting near the front stood up and turned around to face the massive crowd. He surveyed them for a few seconds, and then he said in a clear voice in Russian, "Christos voskrese," Christ is risen. With not a moment's hesitation, the crowd, with one thunderous voice, gave the familiar response, "Vostinyu voskrese," he is risen indeed. Bukharin's logic could not overcome the power of the resurrection, and the opponents of Christ will not prevail in our day. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it, including the good word of the angel. For today we have received good advice from the Easter angel. Don't be afraid. Look at the evidence. Go forth with the message. Will we profit by this good advice? If by profit you mean receive justification, forgiveness for all our sins, salvation, and everlasting life, then the answer is a resounding yes. As we sing with the hymnist, "He is arisen, glorious word. Now reconciled is God my Lord. The gates of heaven are open. My Jesus did triumphant die, and Satan's arrows broken lie, destroy hell's direst weapon. Oh, hear, what cheer! Christ victorious riseth glorious. Life he giveth. He was dead, but see, he liveth." Amen. Please rise.